Parshas Nitzavim, and this is a double Parsha Nitzavim Vayelech, and of course, pre-Rosh Hashanah. Now, let's just state that these are the last Parshios that are being read before Rosh Hashanah. Now, that's not a coincidence. When Ezra, in the time of the return to build the second Beis HaMikdash, decided that he's going to set up a system where the Torah is read completely in a one-year time span, finishing, of course, as we know, after Sukkot and Simchas Torah, in Eretz Yisrael on Shemini Atzeres, the last day. So Ezra had in mind to make sure that the Parshios and the Inyanim, the subject matter in the Parshios, coincided with the yearly cycle. It's not an accident that the themes of this week's Parsha always are read the last Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Now, Ezra could have started the Torah at any point during the year and ended it at any point during the year. Simchas Torah is not automatically necessarily associated with Shemini Atzeres or the end of Sukkot. And he could have divided the Torah into longer and shorter sections, so it could have been 40 weeks or 30 weeks, but he specifically did it in this way so that it comes out as we know it. We sometimes join up two parshas when it's not a leap year, spread them out when it is a leap year, and we have a few extra weeks. But of course, it's designed that the themes in this parsha of Nitzavim, which we're going to concentrate on, are read and integrated the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Because they're not just about the end of the year. What we're going to see is the main theme of this parsha is the end of the historical cycle and the transition into the next phase. So up until the end of Perek Chavtes, we are talking about the flow of history. What will happen when Klal Yisrael abandon the bris that they make right now with Moshe Rabbeinu before he dies, that they're committing to stay true to the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah and to the mitzvos, how they will inevitably abandon that, how they will be sent into Golos, how they will suffer many, many tragedies, and how, you know, all of the warnings that Hashem is making in the last Parsha and here will come to pass. And the Klal Yisrael will have gone through a lot. And then Chavtes ends with a pasuk that doesn't seem to have any relevance to this, you know, prediction that these things are kind of bound to happen if Klal Yisrael abandon the bris. The last pasuk in Chavtes, and we will focus on it in depth a little later, is Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. The hidden things are to God. And the revealed things, v'aniglos lanu levanenu ad olam, are for us and our children forever. But it's kind of a non sequitur. It doesn't really go with the theme of everything that we've been reading, because everything we've been reading in the last parsha is all the warnings of the tragedies. And let me just mention that the klalos, Rambam points this out in Hilchos Tshuva, we won't focus on it now, the klalos, the curses that are inevitable, that if we abandon the bris, are not so much that Hashem does evil to us on purpose as a punishment. Rambam states it's just that Hashem doesn't give us bracha. He doesn't watch us. He removes some sort of his protection, and then all of these things happen. Then the goyim go wild, and the forces of nature go wild, and everybody lives according to their most evil instincts to destroy those that are different than them, and persecute the weaker, which is us, and kick us out of our land, and take our property, and take our accomplishments, and utilize them for their own good, and give us no credit, and persecute us, and destroy us. That's just how things go when Hashem doesn't protect us. So it's a removal, really, of Hashem's bracha, and then what comes in its place in the vacuum is all of the tragedy. Now, if you look back in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, for example, this is the summation of what we've been reading about in last week's Parsha, that there'll come a time, ba'amru kol ha'gayim, all the nations will say, al me'as Hashem kacha la'arzas, why did Hashem do this, all this, you know, to this land? Why has this land been ravaged, the people been sent to Golos? Me'achari ha'af ha'gadol hazeh, because of what was this great anger? What happened here? And you're going to answer them, you'll say, ba'amru, and you'll just answer very simply, al asher azvu es habris, al asher azvu es bris Hashem, alokei avosam, because they left, They abdicated. They walked away from the bris that Hashem made with them, and God, the Father, the God of their fathers, Asher Karas Imam, the bris He made with them, Bahotziam Osam Eretz Mitzrayim. That's what happened. That's why it all happened. That's going to be the answer. It's a relationship that will never break, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will force us back to our senses through tzaras, And that's the answer. And then you explain a little further. Hashem got so angry with them, he kicked them out of their land. That's what went on. And then the last pasuk is the secret things, Hanistaros LaShem Elokeinu, the secret things are God's, and the revealed things are ours. And our question is, why is this pasuk here? That's number one. Just, so, you know, stylistically, why is this pasuk, which is kind of general statement about that God knows the hidden and we know the revealed, why is that stuck in here? And then we transition to the next inyan. And this already is nechama. This is already comfort. And this starts in pasuk aleph and goes to pasuk yudalid. And the theme of these 14 psukim are that what will inevitably happen is, v'hayo, and it'll be, and now we're going to look at some words just technically to see the wisdom in the style that the Torah is written in. How the words are covering huge wells of knowledge, of chachma, of ideas. They're just like, you know, kind of giving us an indication of what depth lays beneath them. V'hayo ki yavoe lecha kol hadvarim ha'ele, and it'll be when all these things will have come to pass, everything we just spoke about. Habracha v'haklala, the bracha and the klala, the bracha and the curse, asher nasati lefanecha, that I've placed before you. And then what will happen after it's all been done? V'hashivosa elevavecha b'chol hagayim asher hidichacha Hashem elokecha shama, you will take it to heart. You'll start thinking about your history, about what you've been through, about what the Jews endured. And you will take it to heart. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha, and you will return to Hashem your God. V'shamata b'kolo, and you will listen to him, to his voice, which means the voice that is speaking to you. The Nesiv HaShalom brings down from the Baal Shem Tov that every time a person hears a hear her tshuva, feels a desire to do tshuva, that is the voice of Hashem that's speaking to them, that tells them, as this pasuk says, to return. That's the voice they hear in their head. It's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you will listen to that voice. K'chol asher anochi metzavcha hayom, everything, you and your children. And this goes on the previous statements. You will return with your whole heart and your whole soul. Now look at this. V'shav Hashem elokecha. And Hashem will return your exiles and have pity on you, gather you up, and then he'll bring you to the land. We have to go through these psukim for a minute to see the culmination, the end of the story. He'll do good for you, he'll increase you, and he will circumcise your heart. Pasuk bav. Mol Hashem lokech es levavcha, he will circumcise your heart. Bes levav zarecha, and the hearts of your children. In what way? What will be the result? La'avas Hashem elokecha, so you'll love him with your whole heart and your soul, and you will live, and all these curses will fall on your enemies, not on you, and everything you do will be blessed and increased, all the fruits of your labor, your children, your crops, everything. You will rejoice, you will listen to Hashem, and know, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, pasuk yud aleph, this mitzvah, asher nochi mitzavcha hayom, that I'm commanding you today, lo nifleso himimcha, it is not hidden from you. It is not remote. It is not something you can't accomplish. It's in your loba shemaim. You know the famous idea. It's not up in the heavens. So who's going to get it for us? It's not across the yam. Who's going to go across the yam and get it for us? Ki karav elecha hadavar. It's very close to you. It's right in your hands. Beficha, in your mouth. Belvavcha, in your heart. Lasoso, in to do, which means your thought, your speech, and your action. It's right there. You can accomplish it in your thought, your speech, and your action. Now, we're going to ask a couple of basic questions on the style, on the words chosen here, dicta questions and the syntax questions, okay? Number one, basic question, and it will be when all these things happen to you. Habracha v'haklala, all the blessings and all the curses that I've told you about, and then you will take it to heart and you'll return. If you were writing this pasuk, would you have written it this way? And when all the brachas and all the klalas come to pass, you'll start to think, it'll make an impression on you, and you'll return to Hashem. What's unnecessary here? The bracha. The bracha. How does the bracha, here's question number one. How does the bracha ensure that we'll take it to heart and return to Hashem? We know generally when there's too much bracha, which is physical, you know, success and comfort, the opposite results. Yishman, Yeshur, and Vayibat, they get too fat and they just kick. They turn away. Right? How is the bracha contributing to the ability to consider everything that happened and return to Hashem? That's number one. Second of all, it says, "Vashavta Hashem Elokecha," you will return with your heart and your soul. And then it says, Vashav Hashem Melokecha Eshavuscha. Hashem will return your exile. So first of all, there's tshuva. And second of all, Hashem will return your exiles. But grammatically speaking, if the pasuk wanted to say Hashem will return your exiles, Hashem will cause them to return. Vaheshiv Hashem. And Hashem will bring them back. So what is Vashav? No, Vashav Hashem Elokecha. Hashem will return. So we'll speak about that. Furthermore, if we've already returned, what is Pasuk Vav adding to us? We've just returned with all our hearts and all our souls, and then, after we return, and Hashem has gathered us in to our land, and has been good to us, v'hitivcha, and has increased all the good, then, umal Hashem Elokecha eslavavchil, circumcise your heart. First of all, what is that mashal? What does that mean? And B, and why is that necessary if we've already returned with our heart and our soul? What does Hashem need? Then what is accomplished in addition to that by circumcising the soul? What is inferred here? To come to another madrega. And finally, let's just ask, you know, simply, Pasuk Yud Aleph. After this whole discussion of the final return of us to Hashem, of us to our land, the final bracha, the curses that fall on our enemies, our everything, you know, everything falling into place, all the bracha resuming, then it says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher nochi metzavcha hayom lo nifle. So this mitzvah that I'm commanding you today is not far away from you. Which mitzvah? That's our the mitzvah of tshuva. So Ramban says it can't be speaking about the Torah that I'm commanding you today, because when the Torah is referred to as mitzvah, it's the way it's phrased is kol ha-mitzvah, all of the mitzvahs. That's a reference to the whole Torah. But here it says, v'ha-mitzvah, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah. So we're talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Now, where is the beginning of the command? Where do we see a command that there will be a halacha mitzvah to do tshuva? Well, that's Pasuk Aleph. So Ramban says, "V'haya ki yavoi lecha kol hadvar meila." When all of these things happen, "V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha." So Ramban here in Pasuk Yud Aleph says that it is really a tzivoy. "V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha." To do teshuva is a command, but nemra b'lashon habeinoni. It's written in a type of more of a passive form, not a directive, and it almost sounds like a prophecy. Because it is. Lermoz, it's hinting to us. The fact is that it's hinting to us. The fact that the Torah writes it, Vashavta et Hashem Elokecha, which can be understood as a command. You will return. You have an obligation to return. Which can also be read as a prophecy. Is written specifically in that vague way. Lermoz, b'haftacha ki asid hadavar liot. It's a hint to the promise that it definitely will happen. Asid hadavar liot. This thing will come to be. Vatam lomar, and okay, well, this thing will definitely come to be. Now, this brings up an idea that I heard from Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and it's something that gives us a lot of hope. We know that if this whole section is predicated, that when you have endured this whole history, and then you start to think and reflect, and there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, and you will do tshuva, but there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, and we see that if this is a mitzvah according to Ramban, and the next pasuk is that Hashem will return you, so that the return to Eretz Yisrael, the kibbutz galuyos, is a result of our tshuva, okay? So therefore, we must do tshuva in order to ensure that the geula takes place. In fact, Ramban says here that all of these psukim that are talking about the hayakiyavu and all of these things happen to you, Ramban says, ki ha-parsha hazu asida. This parsha is about the future. Ki kol inyana lo hayu v'lo nivrao. These things haven't happened yet. He means that this is not about the return from Bavel. This is about our return, the future return, and the end of days. Ramban says that. This whole section is about the end. It's not about the previous return. So we are obviously in the midst of a return. So many Jews have returned. So this is what Ramban is talking about. So if the return is predicated on our tshuva, how do we say that we ani mamin be'muna shalema b'bias ha-mashiach? If the coming of Mashiach is a result of our tshuva, then, and we're not sure, how do we know for sure that people will do tshuva? It's the bechira of every person to do tshuva, and it's a mitzvah, which means it's in our hands. So how do you say ani mamin be'muna shalema b'bias ha-mashiach? So he says, no, based on this, based on this Rashi, also this Ramban here, that saying animam in be'emuna shalema b'vias hamashiach means you trust in the haftach of Hashem that people will do tshuva. You trust that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Trusting in Mashiach is an equal trust that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, as we say here. Now, why does Hashem tell us that v'shavta, it's a mitzvah, but it's also a promise? You will return. Why does Hashem guarantee our return? And the secret is in v'shav Hashem Elokecha. Because it should have said v'heshiv. Right? The secret is in that it's not only that Hashem is bringing back our return, our exiles, but Hashem himself, as Rashi says, is returning. Hashem himself will return, which means to say the Shekhinah is in Gola. So here's the Rashi. So the Rashi says, Hayalo lechto veheshe veshvu sechet, should have said he'll return. Rabotenu lamdu mikan, kav yachol shehashchinah shruya im Yisrael b'tzarat galutam, that the Shekhinah is in the trials of the Golas. Ukishenigalin hechtiv, and when we are redeemed, hechtiv geula la'atmo, that redemption is described as applying to himself, shehu yashav yeshuv imahem, he returns with them. This is from Maseches Megillah. What do we mean when we say the Shekhinah is in Golas? What do we mean when you hear Hasidish Sfarim or Musar Sfarim telling you that every person's neshama is in Golas? That the Shekhinah is in Golas? That we're in a time of, we have to redeem ourselves, go through a personal geula. What do we really mean by that? It's a nice metaphor, but what's the core of it? So think about it. When people are in Golas, what does that mean? When the nation of Israel is living in a foreign land. So practically speaking, what does that mean? When we are in Golas, so you plow land, but whose land are you plowing? Someone else's. You build societies. Whose societies are you building? Someone else's. You enrich the country you're living in. Whose country? Someone else's. You put a tremendous amount of effort in to build the place you're living, to improve the place you're living. You put your efforts into not just surviving for yourself, but as Jews have done through the ages, there are tremendous powers of creativity and initiative and wisdom have gone to build up what? Other societies. You know, there's a billion Chinese walking around on May Day every year with a picture of a Jew from Europe, Karl Marx. Tremendous amount of effort, okay, to build other people's lives and make them better. Okay, at least he thought he was making it better. But also, economists and all of the people that contribute in so many areas to someone else's, to another nation's greatness. Correct? And we've done that as Jews all the time. That's called being in Golas. We have kochos. Everybody must use their kochos. Hopefully some goes back to our own community. Some are directed to our community. But a lot goes out to everybody else. Look around. Most Jews' energies today are not going to us. They're going to everybody else. So that's when we are in Golas. So what happens when a person is in a private Golas? What does that mean? It means that the real netiya, the real desire in a person's heart, if they could tune into it, is to love Hashem and serve Hashem with total devotion, and they have a lot of energy and a lot of initiative and a lot of ideas and creativity, but they don't know how to tap into in that direction, so it's going in other directions. And Jews contribute a lot. When the Shekhinah is in Golas, what that means is, and it's tied into Klal Yisrael's Golas, is that Hashem sustains this world. Hashem puts, so to speak, a lot of effort into sustaining this world. The sun is shining and the rain is falling and crops are growing and there's so much chachma and humanity is using that chachma to do great things. And Hashem is giving this world so much of his koach, but it's not being used to bring an awareness of Hashem to the world. It's being used for something else. Everybody is harnessing this koach and not using it to bring the Malchus Shamayim into the consciousness of the people, so that people are living their lives devoted to the purpose of their lives, which is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their heart and with their soul, and to set up societies that are them examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachman, Hashem's wisdom, how people should best live and express themselves. So Hashem is giving so much koach to the world. And where is all that koach being harnessed and used for? Not in any way to bring the Malchus Shamayim or the Kavod Shamayim back into the world. So Hashem is in Golas. Now, in the end, as we say in Rosh Hashanah, the whole point of living, the whole point of coming into this world, Hashem's whole point for the Bria is Vayeda Kol Pa'ul Kiyata Pelto, that everybody should know you created it. And everybody should praise you. V'yomar Kol Asher Neshama Be'apo. And everyone who has a Neshama should say Hashem is MS. So that's the point. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be redeemed. Hashem needs a new situation where the kohos he puts into the world and the bracha he gives are used in a way to build societies and improve life and live and give expression to him, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, which can best be done by Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael through our national institutions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also in Golos. As long as we're in Golos, Hashem is totally with us in Golos, because we can't bring that to the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us. He's bound to us. He has no options to bring us out of Golos so that we can live the way we're supposed to live, which will then bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name out of Golos. Okay? So the fact is, we're sure, because Hashem, so to speak, needs this, and it's the point of the whole world, the whole Bria, the whole creation. So we're sure that Klal Yisrael will come out of Golos. Now Hashem tells us it's a mitzvah to do tshuva, so you have to take an active part in it and bring other people as much as possible to do tshuva, but it's definitely going to happen. It has to happen. And the methods that Kadosh Baruch Hu uses to making it happen, we don't always understand, but they're Hashem's methods. And they bring about eventually a return and a tshuva. So the fact that this pasuk is written, Veshav Hashem Elokecha, goes back to the previous pasuk, Veshavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, that it's, as Ramban says, it's tzivui, and a guarantee, because Hashem is dependent on it. Okay? Now, when we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, when we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are told that, don't worry, this mitzvah of return, of tshuva, as Ramban says, that's what the end pasuk in Yud Gimel is referring to, is not remote. It's something you can do. How is it done? It's done in thought, it's done in speech, and it's done in action. What we're going to do now is go back to that last pasuk that kind of transitions between, you know, how did this, all these horrors take place? How did these people suffer so much? What happened here? They abandoned the bris. To the next part, which Ramban says is our time, it'll all have come to pass, and then the new stage will change, will come, and you'll do tshuva, and you'll return, and everything will be good. And in between is that pasuk, HaNistarot LaShem Elokeinu, the secret things are God's, and the revealed things are ours. What is, you know, why is that placed there? It's a lovely concept, but our point is the connection. So what we're going to say is that this is the secret to tshuva, to the transition between that we endured so much, and now it's time for the next stage, which is predicated on tshuva. So first of all, Rashi says simply, in pshat, because Rashi always tries to give you a pshat understanding so that you can continue reading without saying, what's this non sequitur doing in the middle of these sections? Like, what is this pasuk thrown in here? What's its relevance? Rashi wants to pull it all together, because this Torah that we learn is called mikra. You're supposed to be able to read it, and it's supposed to flow, and the pesukim are supposed to blend into each other, and it's not supposed to be random and chaotic. So this pasuk, he looks for, there's a zillion explanations to this pasuk, but the Ramban, but Rashi wants to choose the one that will help it flow. Okay, like my grandfather used to explain, that it's called mikra. When we start learning Torah, and the basic level of Torah, and the pshat level of Torah, is to be something, you know, which he compared to being on a cruise on the ocean. Says the beauty of the cruise is seeing, you know, the entire, you know, the scenery around you. But if you stop every 5 meters and do chemical analysis on the water, and, you know, you're never going to see the big picture. First, the mikra is the big picture. Then you can take it, you know, into its, you break it up into its smaller parts. And it's the, all the nuances. So Rashi is going to look for something that makes it flow. And Rashi says here, what this is saying is that, in this section, you know, that all this tragedy took place because we abandoned the bris. Rashi says, look, Klal Yisrael are responsible for our niglos, the things that we know, that we can control, that we can impress upon our societies and our communities to obey the law. That is our responsibility, and certainly when we had Batei Din, when we had some rabbinic authority, peer pressure, the people must not violate the Torah in public in open ways. That's our responsibility, and Hashem expects Klal Yisrael to whatever extent they can, to ensure that the bris is not desecrated so that these tragedies don't come. But this hidden things that we have no idea about, sins people do secretly, that Hashem can't hold us responsible for. It's just the sins that we can control, that are ours to control. We have to make sure. Now, we have no rabbinic authority today that can impose this, but we do have some degree of peer pressure, that certain behaviors are unacceptable, and you can't violate Torah and desecrate the Torah in front of everybody with, you know, this my life intolerance. It's not how it goes, because the tragedies will come. The Klal Yisrael is bound together as a unit, as a whole, and we're responsible for everybody. Even if they don't realize what they're doing is bad for everybody, it's our job in whatever way we can make it clear that they can't do this. It's putting everyone in danger to whatever extent we can. Today it comes through reaching out through love and teaching and kiruv and all of that. But also a certain degree of zero tolerance, and you know that. But we don't know, and what we can control, and people's secret sins, that Hashem is not going to punish us for, and these tragedies won't come to Klal Yisrael because of the things they can't control. That's simple. Now that makes sense. And then we go to the next section when everything has come to pass. We're going to do tshuva. We will do tshuva because Hashem needs us to do tshuva. But taking it one step further, okay, Ramban brings down that anistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu means that there are sins that that people don't even know that they've done. Like, for example, we say shkios miyavin, ministaros nakene. Who can, you know, I don't even know my mistakes. Who can discern the mistakes? Please cleanse me from the sins I don't even know I did. We daven for this also in Yom Kippur. Things we know, badas, babli das. So the second level is that, look, you know, we are asking Kadosh Baruch Hu that we want to be perfect in Hashem's eyes. So we try our best. What we know we can do tshuva on, because we're about to go into the period of tshuva here, of course, during the year also, and return to Hashem after reflecting on everything. So when we reflect, we say, look, the things we know that we, you know, fell short, we can do tshuva, but there's so many things we didn't know. Either we didn't have the opportunity to learn, so we just didn't know, or we didn't realize we were doing it as we were doing it. We thought we were eating kosher and it wasn't kosher. So those things, those are Hashem's, and Hashem doesn't, we can't even do tshuva on them. You can't do tshuva on the sins you don't know you committed. So we say, listen, in the period of reflection, it's our job to reflect on the things we know we've done, but the nistaros, the hidden things, things hidden from us, they're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. We don't have to do tshuva, but even though on Yom Kippur we ask for tshuva, but we don't even know what we're asking for tshuva on. We say, whatever we did, we don't know, you know, forgive us. Now, next step. Okay. Next step, we're going to go into the Yad HaMelech, a perish on the Rambam, Hilchas Tshuva. Next step. What about the sins we know we've done? Okay, what about the sins that we know we've done? So, A, we have to do tshuva on them. But the Yad HaMelech is going to bring an idea which we've mentioned before, but we're going to read it inside, that the whole secret and mystery of tshuva is that it has the ability to take a behavior, an action, or something someone said, okay, or even a thought, that was, and something that was concretely, you know, tangibly, expressed, an avera, an action, and through regret, which happens in a person's head, utterly remove it from existence. Now that's supernatural, because you're working with the world of masa, of deed, of tangible, you know, what you can touch and feel, a real avera, tray food that was ingested, let's say, simple example, right? Or money that was stolen, or some a relationship that was forbidden between two people with bodies. And through the thought process itself, you make it as if it never happened. So tshuva was created, first of all, my grandfather used to say, before the world. The world we know is created yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. My grandfather used to say that tshuva is the miraculous power to make ayin me'yesh, nothing out of something. How does it work? How does your thought remove an action? So here we have a very important principle. Everybody knows that we just said that if you don't know you sinned, you're putter. If you're walking down the street and you're not even looking on where you're walking and you step on an ant hole on Shabbos and you kill ants, are you chayav or mechilel Shabbos? Of course not. It's called eino mischaven. You had no intention to do it. If you had no intention to do it and there was no choice to do it and you didn't think about doing it, you didn't do it. It's nothing. It's gurnished. Okay? It's zero. It's eino mischaven. You had no intention. And we don't have to do tshuva on things that you had no intention to do, because we know that the only thing we are responsible for is the choices we make. If you're not even making a choice, it's like when a duck eats a worm. It's not my business. So, we know that HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is Hashem's department, except Yirah Shemayim. Fear of heaven. Now, fear of heaven means every single moral choice a person makes, but it's a moral choice, a choice between what's right and wrong, what I want and what I know I should do, what the Torah tells me and what I desire. It's a choice. Yiras Shamayim is every moral choice, from the big ones to the little ones, and the little ones aren't ever little because they lead to the next choice, and it's always a road, it always starts a pattern. The moral choices we make are Yiras Shamayim. If we're not making a choice at all, if there's no brain involved at all, if there's no conflict or decision, it's part of Hakol Bidei Shamayim, like walking on an anthill. Yeah. So, let's say a person chooses to do an Avera. We are under the assumption that that's a choice, that we chose to do an Avera. We used our Bechira, our choice, our Koach HaBechira, to choose bad. That's what we think, right? However, there is a big problem with that. It seems to be an impossibility to use your Bechira to choose something bad. It can't exist. Something else is happening. Riyad HaMelech on Halacha Beis of the 5th chapter of Hilchas Tshuva, which everybody must buy a little book if you don't have it already, The Laws of Tshuva, Laws of Repentance by the Rambam in English, and read it now between now and Yom Kippur. It's basic. It's so fundamental. We quote it here all the time. So many of our most fundamental principles are in there. Okay? Free choice, a lot of things. Future, Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, all kinds of things. In any case, the Yad HaMelech says the following. There, he says, on the section in the Rambam that says that Hashem doesn't decree if someone's a tzaddik or a rasha. So he says, there are those that assume in their hearts, ki masa ha'adam ha'ra'im, heima ba'im mitzad b'chirasa. Every bad action, something that you can call ra, which is keneged, the will of Hashem, or against the will of Hashem, that is coming, that's a product of b'chirasa, his b'chira. V'zehu sheker b'hechli. It's utterly sheker. He goes on to say that the ability to choose is what Rashi, what Chazal tell us, is Tzelem Elokim. When Hashem said, let's create man, B'Tzalmenu, in our image, explains, Lahavinu Lahaskil, to think, to judge, to make decisions, to choose. That's the similarity we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu is free to choose to do whatever he wants, so human beings, unlike malachim and unlike animals, have been given the capacity to choose to do what they want. That's the most godlike aspect of humanity, the freedom to choose. Okay? So that's called Tzelem Elokim. So if the Tzelem Elokim in us is our Koach HaBechira, there's a problem, because the Tzelem Elokim, Elokim himself, only chooses lehetiv, to do good. So how could a person choose ra and think that that koach habechira is the source of the ra, if the koach habechira is a tzelem elokim, and there can't be ra as an expression of the tzelem elokim. The tzelem elokim is not expressed through ra. So therefore, what is that sin? If it's not mikoach habechira, it can't be mikoach habechira. Koach habechira can be one thing and one thing only. When a person chooses, which is exercising their tzelem elokim, emulating Hashem, can only be the same way Hashem does it, to choose good. So then what is the bad? So he says, this Yad HaMelech says, they are not choosing at all. Rather, the impulses that are implanted in their bodies, remember the triune brain and the reptilian brain, and the emotions, the limbic system, the impulses that are implanted in them are pushing them, are directing them, and there's no bechira at all taking place. The bechira is in the mind. It's in the neocortex, remember? In the ability to think abstractly. To think what is emes, what is true, what we learn from the Torah. Abstract thinking. Morals and ethics and Hashem's values. And then we pit them against our emotions and our impulses, and then we make a choice. Right? So if a person is so in the grip of their impulses and their personal agenda and their desires that they're not imposing their chachma on their ratzon, they're not choosing at all. They're just going with the flow. They're in a rushing river and the current is carrying them. And it's inevitable that they're just going to act according to the driving forces of their emotions and their impulses and their desires and their personal perspective. They're not going to choose at all. That's not called bechira. It's simply called giving in to the ratzon. It's a lack of bechira. Anytime any human being does something against the will of Hashem, it's a lack of bechira. Because bechira is only exercised one way. And he says, if they had the ability to impose their das on their desires, of course they choose the right thing. Because that's called choosing. Using your intellect to overcome your passions. Otherwise, you're just indulging your passions. It's not a choice at all. If you're hungry, you eat. It's not a choice. When we say we were starving, so we chose to eat, we didn't choose to eat. The body forces you to eat. I was tired, so I chose to go to sleep. You didn't choose it. The body will put you to sleep whether you like it or not. It's natural. So therefore, choosing is only bechira. Now we said, the only thing a person is chayav on is what they choose. Okay? So if a person doesn't choose, they don't have thought, they only have desire, ratzon, the force of their desire. Okay, the force of their impulses that force them to sin. Force them to sin. Once a person doesn't choose, they will sin. There's no options. This we spoke about with the Eitz HaDaas. Once a person doesn't listen, doesn't impose that, you know, the MS upon their own, you know, internal drives, of course they'll sin. The sin is not the sin. The sin is the lack of using the brain, the lack of using the das. So what happens here? So Rav Moshe Shapira says the following. We realize that if something is ein mischaven, I had no intention to do it, then it's not my responsibility. It's not an aver at all. So all a person needs to do, it's not so simple, is when they had a desire to do an aver, we know already there was no machshav involved. There was no thought. So that's already one good thing. There was no intelligence involved here. Second of all, they only yearned for it. They craved it. It came from their personal desires, okay, for whatever gratification it brought them or satisfaction they thought it would bring them emotionally, physically, whatever it was. So now let's say a person can achieve the result of removing that, saying, I didn't want to sin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I no longer want to sin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mesil Sisharm says, Akiras HaRatzon, when you remove your desire for the sin, it erases the sin. I didn't want to sin. If I would know then what I know now, I would have never wanted to do this sin. So now I have no machshava, and I don't even have a desire. So, well, if there's no choice, then there's no choice at all. It goes back to Hakol Bidei Shemayim. It's that I'm not mischaven. I didn't have intention. I had no machshava for sure. I wasn't using my brain. And now I remove from that act the desire I had. I said, pull that away. I separate. I said, I would have never done it again. I have no more desire to sin against Hashem. So that act is separated from its desire. So there's, and the desire is, you know, also plays tricks on us and causes our brain to rationalize it so that we can tell us that ourselves that it's good. So now we remove any intellectual, you know, component or emotional component to that sin. So it's like an action we did without any thinking. So it's Eina Mischaven. So it's not ours anymore. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Now, how does this, well, one thing here. We said HaNistaros, things we don't know we did, they're Hashem's. They're HaKol Bidei Shemayim. But things we know we did, they're ours. So if we still are invested in that sin and we still enjoyed that sin, then it's ours. But once we divest ourselves of it completely and we have no rut zone for it and we don't invest any part of ourselves, any rationalizations, any emotions. Now, the thing is this, that how do you remove the desire to sin? This is very important. Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, Ezehu Bal Tshuva Gemura. This is very, very important. Who is a Bal Tshuva Gemura? He says, imagine a person did an Avera, and then he has an opportunity to do that Avera again, and he has the same Yetzirah for that Avera, and he doesn't do it, that's a Bal Tshuva. So he brings an example. Abal Isha Bavera, he had a forbidden relationship with a woman. After a while, he's again alone with her, and he still has the same passion for her. And he's still in his kochos, in his physical strength. He's not old. And he's in the same city, in the same circumstances, and everything is in place, and he doesn't sin. That's about Tshuva Gemura. So here's the Nekuda that's critical. When you say removing the desire to sin doesn't mean removing the taiva, that you still, he still has the passion, Rambam states clearly, and he still loves her, and he has the power and the energy, but he doesn't anymore want to sin. Akiras HaRatzon doesn't mean you don't desire that forbidden thing. It means you don't desire to give into it anymore. So if a person can remove themselves from the desire to sin, but still know these temptations are out there, and of course, there's a tremendous pull to them, but I don't want to sin anymore. That's Akiras HaRatzon. taking away the desire. And that removes the sin from the person retroactively, creates ayin, nothing from something, and it reverts to a kol bidei shemayim. So it's in the same category as walking on an anthill on Shabbos. I never intended, not on any level. Therefore, it's not mine. That's the second madriga. So all you need for this is a desire not to sin anymore. Because all the ramifications of sin are so devastating nationally and personally for the individual. But there's a third and highest level. And this, the Nesiva Shalom, who, Seeley, who will speak to us, she tells me this morning that her father wrote the Nesiva Shalom of the Slonim Rebbe. He took the Shurim and put the Sefer together. So whoever learns it is Seeley's father. So who knew? In any case, he says the following. Remember we asked the question, when all the bracha and all the klala come to pass, you're going to take it to heart and do tshuva. We said, what's the point of the bracha? So he brings down from the chidah that the shorish, the word teshuva, vashavta, is the same as the word Shabbos. Shabbos. So he says, ultimately, the following. Ultimately, Shabbos is the bracha. When all the bracha and all the klala come to pass, you'll do tshuva. In addition to the tragedies that befall Klal Yisrael that make us reflect in the end of days and return to Hashem, also, all along the way, we were ensured that we had Shabbos, which will help us stay strong, and not just stay strong, reach the highest madriga of all, which is the explanation, the deepest explanation, or one of the deep explanations of Hanistaros, the hidden things. You know, notice that there are certain things given b'tnai. The Eretz Yisrael is given on condition. The Beis HaMikdash is given on condition. But keeping Shabbos is not given on condition. You could be a huge Rosh Hashanah Shalom, eat Chazer on Yom Kippur, and you're still allowed to keep Shabbos. And enjoy the benefits of Shabbos if you keep it correctly. So Klal Yisrael remained with Shabbos. Shabbos remained with Klal Yisrael. It's the Makar HaBracha. And it's a guarantee that we'll be able to do tshuva as long as we take the force of Shabbos. Now, what is the force of Shabbos? So he says, Anistaros, the most hidden thing in a person is their thoughts. It's one thing if a person decides to do tshuva, okay? And they stop sinning, and they remove the ratzon to sin, and they therefore remove the sins from themselves. That's a huge madriga. But that doesn't translate into that person being consumed with the ahava, love for Hashem, that animates them moment by moment, day by day. That fills them up. That ahava, Hashem, b'chol levavcha, that to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, that's almost like a gift from God that fills up a person's neshama, changes the way they think, colors everything, lets them deal with all the tzaras, all the disappointments, all the tragedies, not let it break them, love Hashem despite everything that's going on around them, and fill their lives with this great love that comes from the appreciation of Torah learning, that comes from the appreciation of the mitzvahs that come, and also at a certain point is a gift from Hashem to a person to be, allow themselves to rise up to that madriga. That's the most hidden thing of all. And that is a result of the previous tshuva. So it brings down that in Parashas Ekev, there's a pasuk that's very similar to our pasuk here, Umal Hashem et Levavcha, Hashem will circumcise your heart. In Ekev it says, you will circumcise your own hearts. Maltem et Levavchem. So quickly he says, first, we circumcise. We remove the things that are blocking us, which is our personal desires. That's the thing that blocks us from loving Hashem, and that's our job. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill us, as look at the pasuk, Umal Hashem as Levav Hashem, will circumcise your heart. And what does it say? La'avas Hashem Elokecha. That's what Hashem will do for us. Give us the bracha of loving Hashem with our hearts and all our souls. That's what Hashem will do for us after we have done tshuva. He says that Shabbos is the day that a person is supposed to concentrate on loving Hashem with all their heart and all their soul, which is a madriga higher than just not wanting to sin. So to tell stories on Shabbos of people who loved Hashem with their heart and soul, to be able to see things no matter what, no matter how difficult, as the will of Hashem and for a purpose, and love Hashem with your heart and soul. I'm, by the way, a very effective technique to be inspired, especially in these days, are reading biographies of great people. And even if 50% of what they write is true, okay, it's still inspiring. So recently I read, of course you, many of you read it, Holy Woman. Holy Woman about Chaya Sarah Kramer. I'm now reading the biography of the Klosenberger Rebbe in the war. For example, when he was sent on a labor mission to the Warsaw Ghetto, and I must end now because Celia has to talk, he was starving and beaten, and you know the stories of the Holocaust. I don't have to explain it to you. And he was crying all day, and his Talmidim, who survived the war with him, who were able to report this later, said when they would go and hear what he was saying, when he was crying, he wasn't crying over the fact that he was 90 pounds, that he was starving to death, that he was bleeding everywhere, that he was covered like everyone else with rashes and lice, and the tortures, the inhumane tortures, he was crying all day, Lama Yomru HaGoyim, why will the Goyim say, where is their God? He was filled with so much love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he could think about is the Chil Hashem that was taking place, right? Except he grew up, he of course came out of the war to build huge institutions, hospitals, orphanages, etc., etc. He lost his whole family, 11 children. Astonishing, astonishing love of Hashem. And he says, Shabbos is the day that you specifically focus on that, and it brings you to the levels. And the last thing you want to say is, this mitzvah of to do tshuva, to number one, just make sure, like Rashi says, nobody is sinning as much as we can help it. Second of all, to remove the sin, make it as if we're not mischaven to it. Third of all, to get to a madrega of loving Hashem, which permeates everything, and then nothing around us matters, and whatever is going on doesn't take us away from that, and it changes the way we think. That is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we return do on our own. And that's Misugal, that's unique for Shabbos and the Koach of Shabbos to increase the love in a person. And then he says, it's not far from you. It's in your thought and your speech and your action. You, every single person, can ensure that this tshuva takes place for themselves, for Klal Yisrael, and leads us to Rosh Hashanah, where we stand in front of Rosh Hashanah and we're Zoche Bedin. Now Tzili, as you know, I've spoken about Tzili, so wait 5 more minutes. Tzili is at the forefront of a huge change, an upheaval in Eretz Yisrael. She is working with a program called Kesher Yehudi, Nefesh Yehudi. I'll give the background, Tzili will talk. Nefesh Yehudi is a program where teachers go into every university in Israel, and their program offers a scholarship, some type of stipend for students that will learn 4 hours a week Torah. Many students sign up because they make money, right? They've been 20,000 students or something have gone through the Kesher Yehudi already. Nefesh Yehudi. How many students have gone through it already? Tens of thousands. 20,000. Now, after they finish learning for the year, she comes in and signs, hooks them up with what we call Kesher Yehudi, a one-on-one learning program. And this learning program ensures that they keep a Kesher and they grow. Now, she's working specifically with students because students are the future. And students are learning anyway. And they're already in a learning environment. And they are not just in their leaders, their family, their heads of families, their heads of the country. And they're thirsting for Torah. Right now, Tzili Star has 1,200 students waiting for mentors. The mentors were trained this summer. There's a curriculum that they went through, many, many hours. It's run professionally like an organization. I want her to tell you about it. She runs this with astonishing efficiency and professionalism. It can change the whole country. Now, as we've said here, the tshuva, the ability to help other people to tshuva, it's right in your hands. It's right b'ficha b'lvavcha. Comes from chachma, from learning Torah. I want to point something out, and I would say, make an idea I have, and then Celia will get up. I want to, this group, I believe we learn Torah, we understand the joy of it. We should be partners with her work in Eretz Yisrael. It's grassroots, it could change the country. Thousands and thousands of students. What I'd like to do is I'd like to offer that, we've talked about this before, if anybody wants to commit to support this organization on a monthly basis, okay, $200 to $360 a month, I would like to, the way I can help out, is I would like to arrange a small, maybe one or two, depending how many people, not more than 10 people, in a small group where we'll learn privately a subject that we will decide on our own. We'll choose a sefer or some type of subject. We'll learn in a private setting, interactive, participatory. Where each person can get, I believe, more than you get just in a lecture. And the money that we raise from these chaburas on a monthly basis will make us partners with Tzili and help her support her program, which is also being supported by other sources. And this can be our part to learn mitzvah, gorerach mitzvah, and support this and help other people learn. $180 is all it takes to put one couple together and have them learn for 1 year. And huge changes. The budget is so low because it's run efficiently, and carefully, and a lot of it is volunteer, but there's a very big office in place. Everyone's invited to visit. Celia, I want you to just come up. Anyone who's interested in joining a chabura, a small group, and picking some subject matter together, you'll see me after class. We'll give these out. Yeah. Okay.
First, thank you to Hashem and to Esther and to everybody, because I feel like shlicha shel Am Yisrael. Okay, I'm sorry, maybe I will speak in Hebrew because I'm not stupid like I sound in English. So if someone can help me, maybe Esther will help me, okay? I will speak in Hebrew, okay? באמת אני מאוד רוצה להודות לקדוש ברוך הוא. אני מודה מאוד לאסתר ולכל מי שנמצאת פה, שאתם עושות אותי שליחה של עם ישראל לעשות שינוי. I think we can do a big change, not only in Eretz Yisrael, we will start the change in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm sure it will be, I mean, over the world for sure, because if we make the change, it will be השפעה בעזרת השם על כל העולם ועד ביאת המשיח בעזרת השם. Now we are 1 week before Rosh Hashanah almost, ואני חושבת, I'm sure that everyone a little bit worry about יום הדין. אנחנו כל אחד דואג על השנה החדשה שלו, כל אחת מאיתנו מחפשת זכויות. אז אסתר אמרה כל כך יפה, הקדוש ברוך הוא לא צריך כלום, אנחנו צריכים הרבה דברים. יש רק דבר אחד שהקדוש ברוך הוא צריך, הוא נמצא בגולוס, הוא צריך שאנחנו נפרסם את שמו בעולם וניקח את הכוח שלו לכל העולם. זה מה שאני עכשיו שמעתי מאסתר. אסתר says two פסוקים that remind me, a nice story happened with me. She said, ושבת עד השם אלוקיך, and ושב השם אלוקיך. כן? You will come back to, you return to השם, and השם will return to you. I remember for myself, I was in Geula a few days before Sukkot. You know Geula in Yerushalayim? Kikar HaShabbat? I was with all my kids. I have behind a big family in Yerushalayim. And in the middle, I mean, it was 200,000 people in the street go around to look for Abbas Aminim, to Sukkah, you know, to Etrog. And I saw a baby, like 3 years old, Moishele. He stand in the middle of Kikar HaShabbat. And he cried, "Mommy, mommy, where are you?" He looked for his mommy. Okay? So I made with my kids, like, kemochapak. We organ.
Search program.
Can? One go this side, one go for this side. And after 10 minutes, 5 minutes maybe, we find the mother. Moshe cried, was hysterical, yes? The mother was crying crazy. And I was zoiche. It was my zchut to. אוקיי, לחבר אותם בחזרה. אוקיי, גם האמא חיפשה, גם מוישה חיפש. אני עשיתי חסד, only few minutes I work with it, חסד גדול בשביל שניהם. Both of them wants to give me a car as a toy, right? I think the ריבונו שלנו look for us 2,000 years. השם בגלות, הוא מחפש את הילדים שלו 2,000 years. וכנסת ישראל, עם ישראל מחפש את הקודש ברוך הוא 2,000 years. It's not 5 minutes, it's 2,000 years. ואני חושבת שמי שזוכה לעמוד באמצע ולחבר אותם, ושב השם אלוקיך ושבת עד השם אלוקיך, מי שזוכה to do the connection, I'm sure the ריבונו שלנו will have very very big a chorus of toy, much more than the mother of Moishele, to give him בעזרת השם all the ברכות of the next year בעזרת השם. He makes a good job for Hashem, so Hashem will give him חוזה לשנה הבאה. Okay, so I made 5 years ago a big organization, it's called Ayelet HaShachar Chavruta program, to give everyone, non-form lady, and we start with ladies and we continue to the men's. Everyone non-form wants to learn Torah, we can give him one volunteer that he knows the Torah, religious, that he can teach him one by one. מה שקרה, what happened, all the non-form wants us. They knock on my door, they knock on my computer, yeah, on my list, on the internet, on the internet, they want to learn Torah, okay? We have to help them. We have to be the answer. So now we build a new organization, special from the student. They finish the program of Nefesh Yehudi, special for them. We build a new program. We want to be on this end of the year, we want to be more than 2,500 students learning Torah every week, once a week, on the phone or face by face, and what we saw in Ayelet HaShachar, the big program, is that 40% from the people, they join us to our program, they change their life. They change and shinu et ha-chashiva shelem. But 100% from the people they join us change the machshava about Hashem, about Torah, how nice and how good it is to learn Torah, and about the religion people. Can? 100%. 40% will change be'ezrat Hashem et ha-chayim shelem. Hem yatzilu et ha-chayim shelem. So what Esther says, לא רחוק ממך, המצווה היא בידיים שלנו. And we saw in Ayelet HaShachar that it's going to be, Esther says, it's not only mitzvah to make tshuva, it's also nevuah. We know that it will be, זה יהיה. And now we can see it's happened, זה קורה. People want to learn, people want to change, people need a change. Because, you know, in Eretz Yisrael we are in very, very bad situation. The young people living, they are going to live in America, in Europe, and they are not married to Jewish Arbe Pe'amim, and they forget everything. So we have to להחזיק חזק את ההזדמנות, כן? We can't lose the opportunity what Hashem opened to us, okay? Hashem now opened to us, I think not only in Elul, בכלל, in the end of the world, we are holding on the last 200, 300 years before the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us our from Hashamayim koach gadol shel tshuva, a big power of tshuva, itzorerut, and it's happened. Ze kore le'anashim chiloniim. It's happened even to people they didn't know before that they are Jewish. They didn't know nothing about Hashem. Okay, so when I was first time in Esther house, I have to finish with this vote, because it's changed my life. Okay, Esther, husband, prepare for me a nice vote, because I think we met on Parshas Itroi, right? So it was in the Parsha. He says that in the Torah, there is three people became Jewish, Gerim. Okay? He said three people became a big change. The first one was Avraham Avinu. Second one was Isroi. And the third one was Ruth HaMoaviyah. Okay? Avraham Avinu, why make the change? 3 years old, he looked for... he made it because of philosophy, okay? He את האמת. Who made this world? למי אני צריך לעבוד? למי אני חייב? זה פילוסופיה. חיפוש האמת. He looked for the emes, okay? Isroi heard history. He learned history. יש עם ישראל, יש מצרים, יש מואב, יש אדום. He looked for the history, and he saw Hashem going with the Jewish people. So it's kedai, it's practical to go with the Jewish people, because Hashem goes with them now, okay? Ruth HaMoaviyah, it's amazing. She didn't look for the emet, philosophy. She didn't look for Hashem, who is Hashem, who is the right way to do my life. And she didn't think, where is the more kedai, more practical, okay? Efo achi kedai. Why she make the change? Because she met one Jewish lady. Very, very choshuv lady, Naomi. She met her. She saw her. She believed her. She trusted her. She was very, very close with her, with Naomi. And she said, I want to be like you. Okay, I want to be like you, so your Hashem is my Hashem. Your way, it's my way. I want to be like you because I know you. What I want to tell you, if the not religious people see, and they are very, very close with the one volunteer religious. Okay, can they are very close, and they became such a big friend. They want to do. I want your life. I want to make. I want to be on your life. Ba'asher telchi elech, ba'asher tamut yamut, amech ami elokaych elokay. Atorah shelach, the Torah sheli. Ze aderech hanechona. באמת להביא בעזרת השם את האנשים להכיר בהשם, פשוט מגע אישי. I mean direct connection with the religious people, with the Torah. האנשים הדתיים הם יפתחו בפני כל הלא דתיים את התורה, והתורה בעזרת השם בעצמה, כן? התורה זה רחב מני ים ועמוק מני ים, והאור של התורה בעצמו, עם הקשר ביחד עם האישה הדתית או האיש הדתי, זה בעזרת השם יהיה ביחד ויביא את כל עם ישראל בעזרת השם להכיר בהשם ולהגיד ביחד אין עוד מלבדו. הארגון החדש שאנחנו פתחנו, קראתי לזה קשר יהודי. אני שאלתי את הרב אלישיב על הארגון הזה, רב אלישיב, יונו רב אלישיב, כן, הוא היה השכן שלי, ו יש לי הרבה פרוטקציה להיכנס לבית שלו. אז when I want to open קשר יהודי, I ask him, and he gave me a big big ברוכה, and he says, מי שעוזר לקשר יהודי עוזר לילדים של הקודש ברוך הוא. I can promise הקודש ברוך הוא will help him בעזרת השם. And I called it קשר יהודי because when משה רבינו asked to see השם, השם says, no, you can't see me, I can only show you my background. What is in the background? Tefillin. Kesher shel tefillin. Okay? Kesher shel tefillin. What's wrote in our tefillin? Ma katuv b'tefillin shelanu? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's written on tefillin of Hashem? You know? Mi ke'am cho Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. Hashem is one, but Am Yisrael is not only one. מי כעם חו ישראל גוי אחד בארץ, the same word אחד in תפילין של השם, in our תפילין. What's the אחד? אחד is to be together, okay? To be together, to be in one way. אני חושבת שהמיין thing של הפרויקט הזה קשר יהודי זה לעשות את עם ישראל עם אחד. No more religious and not religious, we are one, okay? And I see it's happened. Now the chiloniim, the non-frum, can see me like one, and I can see them like one. We feel one, and Be'ezrat Hashem, V'ayah Hashem Echad, U'Shmo Echad. Thank you.